Hello, this is Gary Hutchins with the Sunny Slope Church of Christ in Omaha, Nebraska. This is today's Bible class, a short Bible study every single day of the week, 7 days a week, only about 13, 14 minutes usually, but it keeps us in God's Word, and that helps keep us strong in our faith, because faith comes by hearing the Word of God. It also helps keep us focused on our spiritual life and on our relationship with God. Now, we encourage you to share these studies with everybody you can every day, because you know people who need to turn their life around. They need to become stronger in their faith. They need to start focusing on their spiritual lives. Help them by sharing these studies with them through Facebook friends, text messages, and other technological means. You may help somebody even get to heaven. What a great blessing for them, but also for you. So make that commitment and start sharing today and every day with everybody you can. We're going to continue our study. In our theme, we're talking about our thought line, you know, we're asking the question, and a lot of people, they talk about coming to Jesus. Well, what does it mean to come to Jesus? And that's what we've been focusing on. We use as our base text, Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, the great invitation that Jesus extended. He said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So we've talked about the fact that Jesus was not calling people to have a good night's sleep or to get a really good nap along the way every day. Of course not, and we understand that. But he was talking about spiritual rest, ultimately. Spiritual rest. And that is eternal life in heaven, ultimately. That's the ultimate realization of the rest that he's talking about. Now, we could talk about along the way, while we're still alive in this world, as we come to Jesus as our Lord and Savior, that we receive forgiveness of our sins. We receive redemption. We receive salvation and the promise of eternal life. But the ultimate rest that he's talking about for our souls is an eternal home in heaven with him and God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. So what are we talking about? What does it mean to come to Jesus? And we've been looking at some passages of scripture in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. We must come to Jesus in repentance. A whole lot of people, and this may sound crazy, but I'm not talking about insane, but you might think, well, how could anybody expect to come to Jesus and continue to live in the lifestyle of sin that they've been living in? But that's where a lot of people are. "I believe in Jesus," they will say. Yeah, and they think that's it. And you've even got a lot of preachers out there, pastors, telling you all you have to do is believe. Just believe in Jesus. Just invite him into your heart. Well, I don't see where that's in the scriptures at all. Invite him into your heart and you're saved. Just believe, though. They'll teach you that. All you have to do is believe. It's faith only. Well, we saw in James chapter 2 and verse 24, the only verse of scripture in the entire New Testament that has the phrase faith only is preceded by two other words. And those words are not by faith only. Not by faith only. And so we're not saved just by believing. And at the point that we believe, that's not when we come to salvation. When we come to have faith in Christ, come to believe in Jesus, come to believe in God, we're just leaving the starting block, so to speak. Now, I want to come to Jesus. What does that mean? How do I come to Jesus? What has to transpire in that change in my life? And so we want to look a little bit deeper. I want us to go back to Hebrews chapter 3. And this is a quotation basically from Psalm 95 verses 7 through 11. I want us to look at Hebrews chapter 3 verses 7 through 11. And we read this: "Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Now this is a reflection. The Hebrews writer is taking this example from the Israelites after they had left Egypt, where they had been in bondage, and God sent Moses to deliver them from that bondage and basically destroyed much, if not almost all, of the Egyptian army as they pursued them in the Red Sea. And God led them to the border of the Promised Land through Moses, led them to the southern border of the Promised Land, which would become Israel, the land that God had promised to Abraham for his offspring in generations. And so hundreds of years later, God was ready to fulfill that promise that he had made to Abraham, and then to his son, and then to his son, and so on. Well, it was time to bring that to fulfillment. And so God led the Israelite people, who had grown into a mighty population in bondage within the nation of Egypt. And so he was ready to lead them to that promised land, give it to them. And when they got to the southern border of the promised land, Moses sent 12 spies into the land to spy out the land. They brought back initially a really good report of what they saw. But then when it came down to where the rubber meets the road, okay, let's go in. We're going to have to fight some battles. We're going to have to conquer some peoples. We're going to have to take the land. But God's going to give us the victory. Well, 10 of those spies changed their tune dramatically and turned the heart of the people away from going in there and fighting those battles. They say, we can't do that. There's giants in that land. And those cities, they're fortified. They've got walls around them and everything. We can't go in there and fight those battles. Now, Joshua and Caleb, the only two spies who stayed true to God in their faith and dedication at that particular time, they said, hey, God's going to give us the victory. We're well able to take this land. But they were shouted down. Well, so as a result, God turned the people back into the wilderness and said, your lack of faith? All of you from 20 years old and on up, you're going to die in the wilderness. And they spent literally 40 years dying in the wilderness, the entire adult generations. And God said, you know, your children who you say, you know, you're so concerned about, I'm going to raise them up, and they're going to be of greater faith than you, and I'll lead them into the promised land. And so 40 years later, they come back, this time to the eastern border of the promised land, and Joshua leads them into that land, and they conquer the land. They take the land. It becomes the land of Israel. That's what's being reflected here in Hebrews chapter 3 and verses 7 through 11. Now, notice that very end there. Now, what did Jesus say? Come to me, learn of me, and I will give you, you will find rest for your souls. Rest for your souls. Okay. In verse 11, the end of that quotation from Psalm 95, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. And so the Hebrews writer takes this example from the Old Testament history of Israel and applies it to people in New Testament times, people in our time right now. It still applies. We drop down to verses 18 and 19 in that third chapter of Hebrews, and he goes on and says, and to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Now, what is faith? Somebody said, well, it's belief. But it's not just believing intellectually. It is belief that is put into action through obedience and dedication and commitment. It's a change of life, a change of life. In John chapter 3 and verse 36, now Jesus had said in verse 16, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then when you drop down to verse 36 in John chapter 3, the last verse in that chapter, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides in him. Do you see how obedience goes with belief or faith? And obedience is a part of real saving faith. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, the Hebrews writer is writing about Jesus when he was on this earth. He said, though he were a son, yet he learned obedience through the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author or source of eternal salvation to everyone who obeys him. Do you see where obedience plays a central part in real saving faith? Jesus is the author of eternal salvation, the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. So someone says, I believe in Jesus. Great. You're coming out of the starting blocks now in a new spiritual life. What are you going to do with that belief? Well, we've seen you've got to repent of your sins. Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Acts chapter 3 and verse 19, repent and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. On Pentecost, when some of the Jews gathered there listening to Peter and the other apostles teach the gospel as the church was coming into existence in this world, some of them said in Acts chapter 2 and verse 37, what shall we do? What do we do? They're starting to believe. What do we do? And the first word out of Peter's mouth in response was repent. Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. They had to change their life. That's repentance, changing their life. Now remember, in John 12 and verse 48, Jesus said in essence that obeying his teachings, is absolutely connected with true saving faith in him. He said, whoever does not receive my words has one that judges him. The word that I have spoken shall judge him in the last day. And the sense of what he's saying is, if you don't obey my teachings, you're going to be judged by those very teachings. Now we'll go a little bit further next time. Let's pray. Father in heaven, help us to come to repentance. Help us to come to obedience of your word, your teachings. Help us to change our life and walk with you through Jesus Christ in faithfulness, active faithfulness. Please forgive us and hear our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.